My friend, time is picked.
I'm an act named Thomas, and I'm here only through the grace of God. And, you know, I say this so much, and I know y'all say it a lot, and at this place in my life, I understand how He creates situations to allow you to be in a spot that you really, really had no plans on being here. Most of my friends that lives in this area, in the D.C. area, we've been having these phone conversations every year about me coming back to this Ocean City Convention area that they have. And every year I would say, no, I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's the drive through the chicken country or I don't know what it is because I claim to be a New Jersey Pike person, you know, and any vast change for me, it seems to be a little work and a little uncomfortability, and I say no. And strange thing happened, you know. Will William had called me early, and I had told him no. He gave me emails and reminded me about our relationship. And I still said no. And something happened in my life. My baby needed a lot of help. And I was trying to call people to try to get my baby in treatment. Strange enough, this was the only area to say they would take her right away. In fact, they said they would come and get her. I want to thank the area, the Salisbury area, and I think I'm about ready to join a home group down there. That's how much time I'm down there. And my sponsor Reggie and Anthony and the guys, Andre and the guys for helping my baby and helping my family, not just with her addiction. And that's one of the things I want to touch on, because so many times my self-centeredness will tell me the very thing that I'm suffering from is what God needs to help me with. Sometimes God will force me to suffer in one area to fix the bigger area that He wants me to address. So, you know, and I don't want to tell her this because sometimes when she's still early, she still have a dope fiend mind where she might try to charge me for this. But somehow in her bottom has freed a lot of my family. We was we rented a condo because when we traveled down here, we got to bring three kids, her grandma, because this is about meet with her every 2 weeks so she can see her baby. She got a young baby and the kids was running around. I'm not used to that, but I'm getting used to that. Having a 12-year-old grin on me, I'm getting used to that. I'm getting used to that. And all these challenges that all of a sudden Thomas, the guy that used to run and travel, has to do family stuff now. Right? And I got to practice this stuff that I've been talking about on another level. Right? And all of a sudden these tough kids, we had this breakfast thing. Everybody sit at the table, and we had a beautiful breakfast my wife prepared. And when we was getting ready to come and support Artie in the meeting, and the kids were singing this song, and the song they were singing didn't match up to the behaviors that I've seen them kids display. And the song they were singing a song. They said, "If you're happy and you know it, clap your hand." And I never seen these kids in that depth of behavior being allowed to be kids, and they was talking about being happy, man. Even a 12-year-old thug was singing along with him. So what I'm talking about, how God has already, sometimes our vision is so small. so caught up in the journey instead of looking at the destination. We get so messed up on how we feel. I was going down the road, been sick all week, and I was telling my wife, now I'm too sick to deal with these damn kids this week, man. I'm telling you I'm going to prison this week. If that guy say anything to me, I'm going But you got a program, Thomas. I know I got a program, God damn it, but enough is enough, man. And all of a sudden, something happened, and they singing this song this morning. And they talking about granddaddy. And none of this wouldn't have happened if she hadn't hit her bottom, and Salisbury would never happen if they didn't help her, and Ocean City wouldn't happen if they never been here, and none of us would have happened, and I wouldn't have heard my own message this day on how powerful God is. Even though I've had multiple experiences, this thing about program, I need to be reminded over and over again. The guy Artie, my friend Artie, I said, the guy Artie, my friend Artie, I better clean that up. He was sharing about his experience, and I've had the same experience. I want to share it because I've seen some guys that talk to me about the hepatitis C. Then I've seen some guys that look great that won't talk about the hepatitis C. I know what the greatness is about. Right? And I want to tell you, I went through that treatment successfully. Next month, I'll be a year off the medication. Right? Yes, it's frightening. But a strange thing that happens in Narcotics Anonymous to us, sometimes when we have problems, it's hard for us smart addicts to connect the program with the problem as being a solution. It's difficult for some smart addicts. They I'll be dying trying to read you what's on page 32. When I got diagnosed, I almost died. Not that the illness killed me. I didn't even get on the medication. The secret killed me, was killing me. I shut down. I wouldn't call nobody back. Went to Philadelphia and tried to tell them people about what I was. I was trying to tell them, but I was disrespected so much. Too many people were too busy listening to themselves when they were listening to me. And for the first time, God damn it, in the first time in 20 years of being in Narcotics Anonymous, I left the meeting feeling worse than I came. Never felt like that. Left in the middle of the night feeling bad. Went home and struggled more. She said, but look, get over here. You still got to go. I just didn't want to do nothing after that because I believed that the very resource that I was going to get my help from had turned me down. That was coming from a sick mind, though. I believe in a God of my understanding and say, God damn it, if I give you something, can't no man take from you. They ain't say, Robert, I've given you the ability wherever level of life I put you in, I'm opening the gate to freedom right there. Even if you fall on your face and go to jail, I expect you to teach freedom in prison. Now you got hepatitis C. I want you to teach freedom with hepatitis C. You don't have no choice to go through this message. So I said, I'm going to call my sponsor. I want to recognize the God of my understanding. And then nothing has ever happened to me more powerful than the relationship I have with him. And now I've been, because of that relationship with God, I have a relationship with my wife and my sponsor. Then I want to identify my sponsor as Harold P. He's in Chicago now. And I'm telling you, man, this guy has always helped me and saved my life. I called him and I was not being able, I couldn't even breathe. And I called him about how much pain I was in. He was trying to catch me that night, but he couldn't, and he was worried about me, and I was telling him, and I told him about the hepatitis C, I'm not really wanting to tell people, la-da-da-da-da-da-da, and he said, I can't think of a better man. That God could have chose to carry this message about hepatitis C in you. Don't let your disease use its people, places, and things to stop that message. I'm on your side, boss. Is that how you talk, Rob? I'm on your side, boss. Let's get started. So I told Rob, go get the medication. We're going to get the medication. We're going to get the medication. And inside my heart, I just was, you know, whenever you're in the program, you know that if you're afraid to get started, the best thing to do is get started. Second step told me, ain't no problem bigger than the one I really got, but that is a need for faith and sanity. You get that when all problems are solved. So we got the medication. And my friend Jim, I think I seen Jim's here. Friend Jim, he came over. He's a nurse. He's my friend. And I called him over because I needed somebody to hit me. Right? You know, that's of a poke nature to say that. But Jim's my friend. At that time, we was real close. Outside of him hitting me, I wanted another friend close to me to go through that experience with me, and he came over that Saturday morning, and I was, I'm Thomas, man, you know. Let me tell you who I really am. They had to chase me around the dining room table for a minute to just inject me in my arm. And I sit there, and that experience, that first shot just took me to another level. And it wasn't so much as the medication. All it was that time that I hadn't told nobody else about the hepatitis C. That secret was killing me. I wasn't even utilizing all the resources that God had created for me, because once you keep a secret, it's a part of reality that you won't accept. And since God is reality, it's a part of God you won't accept. So if you ain't accepting that part of God, you can't get another part of it. So you dare with yourself, listening to yourself, tell yourself your problem and your solution. So I started surrendering, and I took my instructions, and people were saying, how you doing, Thomas? And I just ran off. I'm on hepatitis C, I'm on Spectrum medication. I'm shooting that shit once a week. I take 2 pills in the morning, 2 pills in the evening. I got chills sometimes. Sometimes it goes, sometimes it comes up. I'm all right. And where I worked at, I got to tell you this, where I worked at for 6 months, 6 or 7, 9 months, I wouldn't let nobody inject me because I was too afraid to inject myself. I'm a guy who used to shoot dope. I used to stab myself. I didn't just get a vein. I used to, all my money went into the dope. I didn't have no good works. You know, I had some shit I had to just, sometimes you just had to stab yourself. You know, if you ever been in pain like a dope fiend, not pain to get the drug in you, but the pain without having the drug, seeing things the way it is, stabbing yourself is an easy thing. Just want to not think about this right now. And some of the things, and strange enough, my recovery role, some of the things I didn't want to think about is joining me in my recovery. What was my daughter reading while we're here? She ain't visiting, though. She's a member. I told her I'm going to give her a year to tell her goddamn story. After a year, I'm going to tell it for her. You got 1 year. Look, she's talking about her name is Keisha P. Your name ain't Keisha P. Your name is Keisha. I'm an addict. You can't use that P shit for a whole year. Worked hard to get that name. So I would go to work, and anybody that went on that treatment, I would have my injection medication in my bag. And I would go to work, and the job allowed me to leave early. And what I would do, I would let my friend Jim inject me in the morning, and then I would leave work at 12, because then after that, you had to shut it down. You're going to be, you know, pretty down and sick for the next couple of days. And it took everything that I had about this program. But it took a while to make this connection. And I would sit down and I would start crying before he would even inject me. And he would say, it's going to be all right, it's almost over. And I said, I'm going to be sick all weekend and I ain't going to be able to see my friends and my family. He said, yeah, but it's going to be years where you can. So I said, all right, then give me the shot. And then I went to see my doctor and I did what most addicts did do. I complained about the medication and the side effects, and he said, yes, people come off the medication because it's interfering with the quality of life. But Thomas, there's nothing wrong with you. I was able to share my story, how I hang out with y'all and share. He said, look at the message you can carry once you complete. You know, you just shared yourself about all the incomplete stories you got with people been on it for 90 days, 6 months. Look at the message you can carry when you complete. Takes a year, Thomas, to complete. Take the medication. So I came back and I told Jim with the injections in my hand, he won't take me off. And Jim says, that because your story's not finished yet. You know how many people are dying? And you know how you remember how you felt when you couldn't tell nobody about your diagnosis? Imagine how many people you can help. Whose purpose are you fulfilling? Yours or is it God's? I remember we was in the doctor's office with my wife, and she normally the spokesperson when I go to the doctor. She gives him this list of shit that's wrong with me. I'm sitting on the doctor's bench like some 12-year-old kid. And I'm just nodding my head. And I know he's not afraid of the injections because he used to use drugs intravenously. And I want to buck on her and I want to say, well, you should shoot dope too, man. Like you some goddamn executive. And the only thing about the treatment that I used to hate was the injections in the lab. The alpha side effects, don't let nobody fool you, ain't that bad. It's not being able to tell people. And the hardest thing, the most thing that made me sick the most, that I had to accept, I had just joined another elite part of Narcotics Anonymous, illness and recovery. I had a hard time accepting that. Couldn't call you and talk about being sick. I got clean in 86. Most people got clean at that time, died. Or y'all treat them like they should die. So I ain't want to kick that. But when I started kicking that, I said, well, don't be no punk now. My cousin Robin, be no punk now. I know my cousin Robin Dalloway. He's a retired gangster. He used to call me every day. Everybody think he's crazy, but he called me every day. No matter what he go through, he called me every day and say, boy, don't take the medication. Let the medication take you. You know, you'll be all right. You need me to come down there? I'm all right. Go, all right then. And then I would get in these terrible arguments with my doctor, and I was wondering why. This guy actually called me at home one night. He said, being your doctor might not be a good idea. I might need to change your doctors. We're not getting along, man. We arguing, and all I ask you to do is go get labs. You can't be on this strong medication, and I can't read your lab. And every time I read labs, they get your labs, you zap out on me. I'm going to refer you to another doctor. And I said, whoa. Well, now I'm going to tell you about me. I done worked the steps of Narcotics Anonymous, and I know I've taken a good look at myself. Good look at myself. Yeah, the first instinct to get mad with other people is in my life, but I know what they're dealing with me. But I had worked on this relationship so long, this guy finally got me surrendered to the medical care. I'm one of them soldiers that I'm going to wait till my wife go get labs, and if she all right, I'm all right. You go get Lazarus. What do they say? What should I do? I mean, that's who I am. That's who I was. That's who I was. You know what I mean? Well, so finally, this guy is threatening our relationship, and I'm saying, wait a minute. I don't want another doctor. He said, then you're going to have to do what I actually do, man. We got to stop these battles. I got a lot of other patients, man. I'm spending a lot of time and grief with you. And I said, Doc, can I come see you tomorrow? He said, yeah. Because he was one of them doctors I could come and see him. He was a head of medicine down in one of the large hospitals in Baltimore. I went downtown and seen him, and I just started crying. He said, what's wrong, Thomas? Is the medication? You got to talk to me about this medication. Tell me what's wrong. I said, ain't the medication, man. Giving laugh hurts me. And it bothers me. I've been doing it for all them years, man, and I stop. Now when I go, it bothers me, man. And the people don't listen to me. And it hurts me. And every time I think I got to go give laughs, I go through this terrible pain inside, and it's bothering me. He said, I'm glad you told me. And I'm going to space your labs out a little bit more, and I'm going to suggest that you only go to the lab and get your lab drawn and try to get the top person to do that and talk to them like you just talked to me. Because I wasn't talking to people. Y'all, we share a lot in here. It's hard to go other places and share. That was a secret to me. I didn't want nobody to know. I got to be very paranoid over needles. You know, one thing about being free, I don't look for no identification, but I'm going to tell you something. As soon as I told that man that, I was free. So Jim, my friend Jim knew, and my wife couldn't go with me in labs. He say, I'll go with you. And I would go to labs, and Jim would go with me. And I'm going to tell you how bad it would be. How bad I am. When the people see me come in the lab, crowded people was there, they wouldn't let me sit down. Because last time I was there, I scared this kid that had to take labs. Am I lying? All right. So when they see me coming in, they say, oh boy, hey, come right on back. Don't let him think. The more he think, it's going to get. He was, and this guy don't even know I'm an addict. But he said, the more he, and I could hear it, y'all said, the more he thinks it gets worse. Bring him back in. Roll your sleeves up in the tie up. They've got to put his head in. I said, wait a minute. You got the orange juice ready? Jim nervous. He trying to figure out what's going on. He ain't rhyming, but he said, look, I can hold your hand. I was holding my hand, man. And the more I talked about that secret, one day Jim see me. I had a Band-Aid on my arm. He said, where you been? I've been to the lab. Why you get me to go with you? Because I'm able to go by myself now. God taught me how to challenge my fear. First way of challenging your fear is to tell the story. Secrets connected to a truth that you won't accept about yourself. So now I'm rolling with the lab, and I got better with it. You know what I would do? I'd play games with myself. I mean, healthy games. I ain't talking them kind of games. Me and my wife got this thing about Thursdays. We got Thursdays our family day, in case y'all want to know. Some of y'all, this shit might improve your relationship. On Thursdays, it's about family day. We go to the movies, dinner, and afterwards, we do some stuff to keep it green. I know you slow, Austin, is sex. So, we had this thing. I told my wife one time, I'm going to tell her, because she work in D.C. now. I said, look, you're going to be running late. That means we ain't going to go to the meet, we ain't going to go to the movies, we might not be there to dinner. How late are you going to be? She said, I'm going to be real late. I'm going to have to go by myself. And I'm talking about the movie either. Thursdays is Thursdays. All right, let me get back to my story. All of a sudden, I'm being challenged with all the messages that I've given through Narcotics Anonymous. All of a sudden, this God that I always talked about, that it always seems to pull me out of things that as soon as I thought it was all over, it was just the beginning. All of a sudden, this God means more to me than anything. And my life was coming together rapidly. I was getting through the treatment. My count went down to zero in 6 months, didn't it, Jim? And I started to dope feed him. It's time for me to come on. I said, no, Thomas, is a year. The blood work don't mean that much. It means that if we got it down, you got to complete the year. I had a hard time with that. Very hard time with that. Hard time completing something that I appeared in my mind to be successful already. Sound familiar? But I did what y'all told me to do. Because I wanted to tell a complete story. That I finished. So in May of last year, I took my last injection. And the last month was very difficult. People here have talked to me that when they went through, they know how tough it is. Because your thinking talks to you. This ain't no difference in the disease of addiction. Your thinking talks to you. And everybody thinking this medication will send you crazy. Addiction will send your ass crazy. You sit around and don't do none of the basic things that people tell you to do. You will send you crazy. Most of my friends, I was taking pictures with the young guys. I was like out there too, man. Look, I wanted people to think I was from New York and stuff. And I had a Salisbury outfit on yesterday. And I was thinking, I was telling Robin last night, I'm from what we used to call the first resurrection of the Basic Deck Boys. They call us also called the Hit Squad. Old guys, and I want to identify those names because I miss them. And I haven't given these guys the fair opportunity to be that same friend to me. And there was the Ronnie D's, who's now Usman. The Lenny, who's now Abu Bakr. Right? Harold. Now they call him Harold P. Right? Ron H. He was my boys. Gail from Camden. Roger C. These are the guys that we was the first resident. We didn't have no convention then. We was traveling in cars, sleeping on floors, trying to raise this convention. Nobody gave us nothing. We couldn't pay bills to be with you. Nobody had a whole lot of money. Nobody. No, Ron was he was answering phones. I was a residential counselor when I went to work. We was the first resurrection. We was the ones that was traveling. Remember when we was the ones that was preaching and talking about the God of our understanding and the steps of Narcotics Anonymous. We was talking about if change you must or die you will. We was talking about not wanting to be clean and living dirty. We was talking about that stuff. But we never knew the impact it would have on others that made a major impact on us. And it sent most of us crazy. It sent most of us crazy. Some of y'all made me a big fish and put me in a small bowl. Couldn't have this thing. And like I was supposed to stop having living experiences. You know what I mean? What do you mean living experience? I ain't supposed to have no more girlfriends. I'm supposed to be crying. You know, don't have no problems. I'm supposed to pay all my bills. And I was having all them problems, man. You know? But I would come and tell it. One of the first things that we said from the first resurrection, you ain't got no business up at the podium telling people what they supposed to do. Ain't none of your business what they supposed to do. You get up at the podium and tell them what happened in your life. Be specific about what happened in your life. Nobody needs to understand what happened in your life. Don't be so crazy about giving somebody else the message about what happened in your life. Be specific so you can hear what's happening in your life. A terrible place to be in and not college numbers and call yourself a messenger. Everything I had to come and tell. My wife just come to meetings and cry because I had to tell about some things that was happening in our relationship. Had to tell it because it happened. As long as I didn't tell it, that means it could happen again. What secrets do? She was embarrassed. Have you ever talked to your friends about it? I couldn't talk to my friends about it. It was too embarrassing to tell Artie, too embarrassing to tell Angie, too embarrassing to tell Nita, too embarrassing to tell anybody, because it was wrong. And it was totally contradicting what I had been preaching to them for those years. Couldn't tell him. Didn't tell her. She told me. So, she said, now we talked about it. Where we going? So now we're going to work on it. Then I had to go to Newark, New Jersey. Little George. And he's somebody I love. Always talking about being in a relationship, la-da-da. I said, he said, what do you do? I got to tell. I'm going to pick up my gangster cousin in Delaware. Because he gives me good feelings when I'm scared. We're going to ride up there. All my friends and family going to be up there, and I'm going to tell. And the guy said, why? Because it's my responsibility to tell. It's my personal responsibility to stay clean to tell. And if I don't tell, that don't mean I'm ended. Because as soon as you tell your secret, you can get a brand new start. I'm telling you, man. It's so crazy, just like the mist. As soon as you tell it, you got a brand new start. Brand new start. My wife, I came home, I got to the meeting, I could tell you, she didn't go, she couldn't, I understood. But I got that meeting, I tell them, Rob, everybody say they love me, but goddamn it, raise your hand and repeat after me before I start sharing. Taking no chances on this one. Goddamn it, raise your hand. God damn it, everybody raise your hand. No matter what I say, after the meeting, you're still going to love me. And that's what they did. When I told, and the sisters got in line and hugged me, brothers got in line and hugged me, what I told them, that I don't know how it happened, I messed around and jeopardized the very thing that had been true to me through all the difficult times that I just talked about. And that was my wife. I crossed my wife. And at a time, when if you had asked me the question, I couldn't tell you why. Only that I was going through a very bad time and I was too afraid to talk about it. So what happens when you not tell the truth about a secret, you normally creates another one. So what I did, I wanted to stop. I wanted to stop, not so much for my wife, I wanted to stop because you ever been caught in something you wanted to stop and couldn't? I'm not talking about no, and people talk about, they look at the picture of what you're doing. That ain't the hit. The hit is how you feel leaving and how you feel coming. And talking to yourself and trying to make sense out of nonsense. Memories of her sitting by my bed taking care of me through this whole illness. And I have not felt that bad about myself since being clean. And I remember what Earl told me, because he's the guy, he's always been my mentor. Y'all know my sponsor, you know how he is. He always would tell it. No matter what it is, he'd tell it. He said, boss, and he said, you got Robert in the car? I got Robert in the car. Then you read it. Go tell your story, boss. Go tell your story. And if somebody can't accept your story, boss, it's somebody that's struggling with their own. so I got to the podium, and I told my story. Got back home. Wife gave me a hug. She stand at the door, gave me a hug. Give me the CD. Strange how something that had so much magnitude and so much obsession and compulsion, once you tell it, it loses its juice. Literature talks about it dies in the light of exposure. It loses its juice. No more ducking and diving and lying and manipulating. None of that stuff. None of the false hype that comes from the sneaking and feeling like a rat, one with two holes. None of that stuff. Because once you tell it, it loses it. It ain't got no more power no more. The disease done failed. This ain't had nothing to do with my relationship with my wife. It was gaining ground on me. Oh, you know, how long you think a dope fiend like me, well, my ego gonna be riding around feeling bad. Over some act that the literature talks about an animalistic level. That's how you describe it. Got nothing to do with the person. If you love God, you should be concerned with the person, because you was dragging him too. And I got a program. And I say, but for the grace of God. So I said, I told my story. Then after the meeting, something really neat happened. You remember, Rob? Women was bringing their husbands to talk to me. Am I lying? Angie, am I lying? Get his number. His name Ralph. He gonna call you. And that's a part of my story that God allowed me to live. And if he allowed me to live, my responsibility as addict is to tell it. Not just tell how I whoop the disease when I walk away from a bag of dope. When I walk away from my opportunity to kill me. So that's my story. And I tell that story because I know how hard it was for me to rebound, and it's something else with somebody that God has chosen to be a messenger with the intent to share light on a dark subject. Many people don't want to share on a dark subject. I ain't the type dope fiend that'll sit up here for 90 minutes and talk about how much dope I shot, how many people I robbed. And I slept in a shooting gallery. And my mother and them looked at me and shook their head. Ain't that kind of dope fiend? Because he knew my mother, she looked at me today and shake her damn head. Ain't that kind of dope fiend? I was talking to Angie one time recently. And I was talking about an old friend. Ron H. called me, and I really felt good that he called me, and he said that he wanted to talk about, you know, restoring our relationship, but I miss him. I miss that fella. He said he missed me. So we said, we're going to talk about it. So I call Angie, and she says, good news, Thomas, because, you know, it always, you got to know Angie and understand what I'm saying. It always amazes me how you always seem to keep good relationships and forgive those really sick ones and not have a hard time with people that's really healthy in your life. I said, all right, Angie, I got to go back to work here. You mess your phone call up for the rest of the week. And the secret that I want to tell on that level is I miss all of my friendships. I do. I miss all the things that we should benefit from sharing with one another. But recovery is so fast. So fast. Sometimes you can pass recovery in God by the wayside. be thinking you were looking for your next exit, but wind up looking for that God that you left back in the last one. It's so fast when a person that has never had nothing gets so much so fast. So overwhelming. We forget about praising God and we started measuring how much you got weight versus what I got. I can't remember the last time, you know, this week sick was a beautiful experience for me. You know, I was sick and this flu jumped on me. I couldn't move, man. And here, the iron man, couldn't go to work, couldn't do nothing. But the really neat thing that happened, everybody stayed home with me. My wife stayed home and I was able to, she took care of me. But one of the things that God did for me to make me, that one of the things I seen why he made me sick and put me down, so that I can already appreciate what I have. Because I have so much. And I was just blasting my grandson about we didn't gave you too much because now you got clothes with tags on it and you're still asking for more. But then I had to take a look at myself and how God had to make me sick to appreciate my wife, my home, that God can turn rats into squirrels. Everything that I have is based is all through the God of my understanding. And as soon as I lose touch of that, I can have a brand new old truck. My home would be a house again. And by the time I value the things that are so more important to me, it's on the way out. Isn't that something? So I was telling my grandson, and he was, and when my daughter first asked for help, and God helped me, he was trying to ask me questions about addiction. And I was telling him that I was an addict too. He said, "Granddaddy, you too?" I said, "Yeah. I remember looking on the outside at Corey's birthday party, and Corey's my son, and was too dirty to go inside. I remember when I couldn't even buy him a birthday card. Remember, Nita? I remember that the only thing that I could dream about to give me sleep was my own funeral, because that's the only time I thought anybody would give me any attention. I remember leaving a shooting gallery on Fed Mountain after all of my money was gone, and too tired to lie, too tired to steal, and just sit down on Fed Monroe and just cry. People wondering why I come out of that story playing sitting in the asphalt, but playing sitting on the curb playing in the asphalt with a little stick. He said, "Granddaddy, but you did good, because I was making myself, put myself in position. I was putting myself in position for the next miracle. I was digging in the pain of addiction, waiting for God to come and get me. I was sometimes in so much pain, I would say, 'Daddy.' And my father who passed was my hero. I used to cry out, 'Daddy.' And my father this time couldn't get me. He said, 'I can't get you this time, boy. I'm tired. Your father's tired, man. Go get some help, man.' When I stood back at my father's door, I had 28 days clean right out of rehab. And I asked my father, 'Could I stay in his house?' And he said, 'I could.' And that was over 20 years ago. Yeah. This thing I was talking about years ago when I was at CCB, Community College of Baltimore, and I was taking up computer stuff. I was trying to learn how to use a computer. And those were the days where the PC wasn't what the PC is then. You had to, it was like PC / this to get inside the program. Remember that? And I was just, see, Jim, he didn't know that shit. And I they told me about cascading and all that stuff, right? But you know the biggest thing that program, that class taught me? It taught me that you have to meet a condition to get inside of a program. You just can't, like it is now, going like, you had to meet a condition. And if you couldn't meet that condition, you couldn't get in. It will blink at you. But you couldn't get in. So I know about people that came and stayed. They couldn't get in because they hadn't met their condition. And I'm happy my daughter here. Y'all know I'm happy. That's my heart. But that don't mean she met her goddamn condition. Even though I got over 20 years, doesn't mean that I've met my condition as life revolves around my life now. She ain't got to go. I can leave. For some of y'all people, time think you ain't going nowhere. So this thing I want to just close with. Thank you, Chesapeake Potomac, for this opportunity, man. I'm going to tell you, I would have not dreamt 6 months I was going to be in Ocean City. I just have something. I got to deal with my spouse about this. But what is this thing with Ocean City? Because it's really a nice convention. Got all my friends here. And, you know, you allow my cousin to come. And I'm grateful, man. But if you ever find yourself in a spot and you don't, and it hurts so bad you don't know what to do, you better fall on your knees and pray and then call somebody. Be very clear about what's going on, because a lot of my problems, Big Tim, I was trying to use words to try to dress up what I'd done, justify what I'd done. Even my wife left me. Oh, my wife left my wife, you know. My wife left me, man. It's a simple goddamn message. Came home, the yellow truck was packed, and my ass was gone. And smart Melvin from Chicago was telling my wife how I was hurting that weekend, and how what, and I didn't need him to tell her that, but he was. You should have seen him. He was a goddamn mess. That's the story, cuz, you know. And when I told that simple story, my life started changing again. You know? But my message is, as soon as you can tell the truth about you and where you at right here, right now, you can get a brand new start. I don't care what it is. I don't care what's got you bogged down. So long as you, as soon as you can tell your story right now, accept your reality right now, moving forward, you got a brand new start. Can't no human being on the face of the earth hold your yesterday to you today. No human being. No human being. Since 3 years clean, and I heard people share about stuff, about people mad. Melvin said some really nice shit yesterday. He always says some really nice shit when he's up here. But Melvin's not up here now. You have to get in touch with the God of your understanding. Understand your role with Him. At some point in your recovery, you're going to have to take a serious cut off of God. Ain't none of this group level stuff that we talk about. You're going to have a personal relationship, because at some point, you're going to make sense out of nonsense. You're going to have take the stress off of your decisions. Only what He gives you. I heard a sweet whisper one day. That no matter what, everything is going to be all right. Job stuff was pulling on me. Everything is going to be all right. All you have to do, Thomas, is suit up, show up. Everything's going to be all right. Mommy, the old days, Andrew, when they had that old carnival on Poppenden Street. Years ago, when I was a little kid, and all of us when he was five of us, and my father used to come off of his construction job, and we'd be happy, we going to the carnival, and we'd get in line, and my father, old country boy with a lot of pride, we'd get in line, and we'd turn around because we knew things were tight. Want to know, Daddy, was it all right to get on this ride? And he said, go ahead, I got you. Go ahead, I got you. At that point, didn't matter what it cost. Didn't matter what it cost. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? My father's dead, but I'm staring, hearing. I'm telling you, when I pray, I hear the Father saying, no matter what, I got you. You might not see it coming. You don't even have to believe that it's coming. Believe in me is here. I was looking at my son one time trying to swim. You know, the thug, 12-year-old thug, scared of goddamn water. He's in water. He's trying to speak. He's trying to be a gangster in water. He drowning and shit in 2 feet. The guy about this tall. I said, am I lying? Listen to my message I gave him. You don't have to struggle. Just stand up. If you're here and hurting where I've heard at, you ain't got to struggle. Stand up. Just stand up. God has already equipped you with what you need. You the one that's killing you. How can you be such a gangster in your using and such a punk in your clean time? So Robert said he coming in and ain't gonna be security. I don't need no goddamn security this time. When you had a godly understanding and been through what I've been through and surviving. Now living, feel like I can pull two lions beside me. Nothing, absolutely nothing, nobody outside of this space can hurt me. Only me can hurt me. Because I have this thing arrested once again. And I'm taking it where I want it to go. Don't be like I was with a disease. I was inside of the disease and it was taking me where it wanted me to go. So I'm standing in Ocean City. And I am telling you, I am so grateful for this moment. Because it might not happen for me again. When I think back on the Ron H. days and the Ronnie H. days and Ronnie D. days, it can be that day today with us. It can be that day with us right here. Right here. Do you realize right here, right now, is his story? Ain't my story. Right here, right now, is his story. And no matter what happened to us, nobody can take this day from us. Nobody. No thing, no place can take what he has given us, which is his story. So why would I blow this moment with a lie? Huh? So look, I don't make amends in the meeting, but I will tell you this, that these people, Robin, already know who I am, right? I'm a very sane person, out of my fucking mind, you know, make really rational decisions, you know, really smart. So they know that only God could have put you in my life. They know only God could have put you in my life. And you in my life because, and you in my life because at times I work so hard to destroy all of that. Because in a relationship you got to constantly invest in it. And people know me. Y'all know my history. I don't call you back. So I'm just telling you how God has helped me without cooperation. So I'm going to close with this. My cousin, who I love very much, reminds me of a group of country people, you know, where we're from. Of course, I was born in Maryland, but our family is from the South. He didn't want people to know that because he wanted people to think he's from Kansas City, New York, you know. And my cousins will tell a story one day. He's a pimp. And I was telling Jeff Nim, he's an old pimp. And I was telling Jeff Nim, I knew why he was good at pimping, because in the South, you walk behind asses all day long. I know Austin Slope. Muse Austin. I'm going to help him, Kurt. So one of the things about people from the South, that when they give their word, even when we was dope fiends, when we gave our word, we would hurt somebody we loved just to keep our word with a friend. With a friend. And when I went through the thing with my wife, and I was getting through it, and Robert was talking to me about it, and I told him that I wasn't going to keep nothing from him anymore, because when you don't tell somebody what's happening, that's almost like lying. And he thought we had a better relationship than that, and I gave him my word. And when I met with my wife, I gave her my word. And what has allowed me to keep my word with ease? Guess what it is? Going to meetings, praying, studying, and not picking up. Same thing we told the newcomer. The person with over 20 years has to do the same thing to allow his life to be as of ease. Now, if you're in a dirty secret and not, you know, not we get slick in our recovery saying, well, I ain't there yet. Right? No, I mean, I understand. Because I was there too. I understand. I was telling Robert about this story. I ride a bicycle in the morning. And I ride it to the gym, and the wind from the bike were blowing my face. And I've been on that treatment for a year and not feeling any wind because the chill would have you kind of numb. All of a sudden, I started feeling the wind. I started feeling I was getting better, and I started feeling God. That was my meditations time. You know, it's a little thing I made up in my mind. And it works for me. And it's strange how I thought that I could handle what I was in, what I was doing, with secret is obsession and sickness. Sickness. I tell you, I've got to use words to properly describe it. It ain't slick. It's sickness. When you love somebody and use up somebody, it's sickness. God only have one Thomas in mind. I've created two. That's what they call sickness. There's a diagnosis. Already can make one up. But I think it's a diagnosis where they call it multiple personality disorder. Or, in layman term, lying is a sickness. So when I was in my sickness, riding the bike in the morning, I couldn't feel the wind blowing in my face. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you ever done wrong, then try to pray. Or do wrong and pray before, and then pray after. Pray. Because you know if you have a relationship with God, no matter what it is, my father say, he should say, he know what a few see. You know a relationship with God. If I pray, God already knows, oh my, I'm in trouble. So I'm not going to pray. So when you say you are in your sickness and it's all right, I know your relationship with God ain't what you say it is. Because I know what it was for me. So, I started feeling the wind in my face. And I started singing my old song again, Angie. sly in the family stone. Thank you for letting me be myself again. Thanks for allowing me to share. I keep coming back.